1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. After huddling with President Biden, Democratic governors say they're still good to go with Joe.
The governors say they stand with President Biden, but they're worried about the state of the race. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz said Thursday night was a bad performance.
A path to victory in November is the number one priority, and that's the number one priority of the president.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore says the conversation was candid.
We were honest about the feedback that we were getting. We were honest about the concerns that we were hearing from people.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the president intends to stay in the race.
President Joe Biden is in it to win it.
She says she feels confident after the meeting. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, New York.
At the White House this evening,
the president and first lady are using this holiday celebration to honor active duty military service members and their families. They've invited them to attend a barbecue on the South Lawn of the White House. The Bidens will deliver remarks in celebration of Independence Day, and then they will join their invited guests to view the fireworks display over the National Mall.
CBS's Linda Kenyon reporting from the White House. In the Caribbean, Beryl is now a Category 3 hurricane swirling its way towards Mexico. Michael Brennan is head of the National Hurricane Center.
Beryl is expected to weaken as it moves overland to a tropical storm, but then expected to reintensify and be at or near hurricane strength as we go from Saturday into Sunday and Monday as it slows and begins to turn more northwestward, bringing the center of the system close to northeastern Mexico or deep south Texas.
The storm was responsible for at least 7 deaths when it roared through the southeastern Caribbean. Blistering heat and a voracious wildfire in the nation's west.
Here in Northern California, crews are trying to get a handle on the wildfire while also battling triple-digit temperatures. They're using a nearby reservoir to make water drops to help stomp out this wildfire. But the dry and windy conditions are expected to stick around through the holiday weekend.
CBS's Elise Preston in Oroville, California, where thousands of local residents have had to be evacuated. Australian police confirmed they have found human remains while searching for a 12-year-old they believe was the victim of a crocodile attack.
The recovery has been made. It was particularly gruesome. For the family, it is the most devastating outcome. They are in a state of extreme shock and disbelief.
The child was last seen on Tuesday swimming with family near a remote town in Australia's Northern Territory. And in the Middle East, the Lebanese Hezbollah group says it's launched over 200 rockets at several military bases in Israel in retaliation for a strike that killed one of its senior commanders. The attack by the Iran-backed group is one of the largest in the months-long conflict. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram he knows exactly what he means when Donald Trump remarked about what he called black jobs during last week's debate.
He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do are manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it.
You can hear Earl's entire interview with President Biden Thursday morning between 8 and 10 across the Civic Media Radio Network. The long holiday weekend starts with some long car rides for many in Wisconsin. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
AAA expects we'll set a new record here with 1.6 million people traveling in the Badger State. Remember to check 511. Construction projects are paused across the state, but there may still be lane closures in work zones.
Savannah Tomei Olson reporting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks add a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks signed 30-year-old forward Taurean Prince. Last year with the Lakers, the 6'5" Prince averaged about 9 points a game in 78 appearances. He played for Minnesota before that. Baseball, Brewers making a trade. They sent a prospect infielder, Gregory Barrios, to the Rays for a starting right-handed pitcher, 29-year-old Aaron Civale. Last night, the Crew with a 3-0 win over the Rockies. The first shutout for Milwaukee at Coors Field since 2005. Christian Yelich, with a home run, named as a starter in the upcoming All-Star game, along with catcher William Contreras. Colin Ray pitching 7 innings in the shutout.
Code Red, we call him Code Red. He was sensational and really efficient. I think he went more down and away fastball than he normally does, and you'd have to ask him, but I don't think he threw as many cutters.
Yeah, it was a late night. That's manager Pat Murphy. They wrap up the 4-game series tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have some heavy rain on the way later this afternoon, tonight into tomorrow. We're talking 1 to 1.5 inches or more of rain possible. Today, sunny this morning, scattered thunderstorms by later this afternoon, high of 84. Rain and thunderstorms tonight, 61. Tomorrow, rain, scattered thunderstorms, high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Maggie Dawn.
Hope you all are having a fantastic July 4th holiday weekend. Don't worry, I'll be back at it come Monday. You won't want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. From our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Independence Day, Thursday, the 4th of July. And while this is a largely best of Up North News Radio, I'm certain that it's another beautiful day to have you up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And whether you're joining us through the radio or the Civic Media app or on social media or on demand by podcast, thank you very much for taking us along on your day. I've got a question here at the start of it. What you doing up so early? It's a holiday. I mean, I know what my excuse would be. I'm expecting a very full house for the holiday weekend, both daughters and their families, which means the early risers, a funny little 2-year-old girl and her 5-year-old big brother, are going to be coming up the basement steps anytime now, quietly crawling into grandpa's lap while we watch Bluey or something else until their parents get up. The 10-year-old will be along a little later, and the 17-year-old will probably sleep till close to noon. I've seen him do it. It's his superpower. Coming up this morning here, we're about to revisit Monday's conversation with Up North News reporter Selena Heller on a couple of different stories she's working on. One was a feature on a surrogate mom and learning about how surrogacy is easier here in Wisconsin than in some other states. And we also get into strawberry season, and somehow we run far afield on, you know, picking asparagus by the railroad tracks and things like that. We're going to have a history lesson on the Inflation Reduction Act from Melissa Baldoff and talk about how it can save you money for years to come. We'll talk a little off-season summer football at the small college level here in Wisconsin with Riley Kleist. We'll visit with Bryce Luchterhand about a program to help people fleeing war-torn Ukraine and how their immigration status could be affected depending on the outcome of the election this November. And we will talk about the importance of civics, a civics education, and we'll get that discussion from two different points of view, one from the educators and another from a young woman who became the winner of the first Wisconsin Civics Bee. First, of course, I want to thank everybody who made yesterday's 60th birthday so memorable for all manner of reasons, I suspect. So please know, for all the grousing about the aches and pains of having another birthday, I still feel like a kid sometimes who found a 4-leaf clover, and I thank you for being a part of it. But let's jump into things. Our talk with Selena, starting with the tail end of Brittany Merlot's Monday forecast, when she already suspected the 4th of July weather was not going to be cooperative.
Expect that ground to be wet and soggy for a little bit. We do dry out a little bit on Wednesday, and there are some storm chances on Thursday and into Friday. But we'll get into all those details later. You're going to have to wait just a little bit. But it is out there. It's not heavy rain, but rain chances in there.
I'm sorry, Greg looked like he was going to address something over here.
Everyone's just upset. I get it.
On the 5th, we're supposed to have a cookout, and it's supposed to rain from sun up to sundown.
But yeah, apart from that, you know,
Yeah.
Other than that, it's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I think I'm, you know, hopefully if we all cross our fingers, yes, the storms will stay away on Thursday evening and hold off until midnight or so.
There's always the cone of uncertainty, as they like to say. You know, the storm could go this way or the other. Good morning from Tigerton. Rob writes, it's sunny and 54, going to be a beautiful day. I have mowing jobs in Wittenberg today before it rains tomorrow. I had a Walkman when I was in high school jamming to the rock and country songs of the 1980s. Brittany, what was your first personal music player?
Oh, it was definitely a Walkman, actually. A Walkman? That's crazy that he said that, because
okay, I thought maybe you were young enough, like, oh, I got some AirPods, you know, 2 years ago, that was my first. But no
right. What do I call myself, an elder millennial or something like that?
Good, I like it.
Where I had the phone that was plugged into the wall, you know, people had to call the parents if they wanted to get a hold of me, so I know.
Okay. All right. Selena, what was your first little personal music player?
Probably later on I did have a Walkman, probably. I remember having that.
Yeah. Greg
didn't use it much, probably.
I had a Walkman on me I remember when I first started going to school with a Walkman, I would sneak it in because I thought I was going to get in trouble, and then no one cared. But I always had a Walkman in my backpack. I was always listening to music whenever I could. And sometimes when class was going on, I should have been listening in class. But that's neither here nor there, kids. The more you know.
See, I had to carry an AM console radio with me with two hands all the time. The tubes would sometimes get really hot when you carried the radio on long enough.
Grab a pack back!
Brittany, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You as well.
And folks can join us here. 855-75-CIVIC is the phone number. 855-75-CIVIC. Selena, let's talk for a bit about stories you're working on for Up North News. And that would include talking to somebody about the topic of surrogacy parenting for parents people who want to be parents, couples and individuals who want to be parents. Might be fertility issues, might be that they're, you know, a same-sex couple, all kinds of reasons. And like you were saying right before the break, there's quite a few people that are willing to, you know, experience or endure, depending on your point of view, pregnancy and childbirth on behalf of others.
Well, right. What a selfless act, huh? To go through all that. I mean, it's quite a process when you think about it. And a lot of people don't realize it's a big time commitment, not to mention your body goes through all of that and all of those things. But when you meet with a couple, when you match and then you talk about it, then you make a contract and all of that. I mean, it could be a 2-year time commitment for all of that. So it's quite a bit involved. And one of the mom that I was talking to, she said, you know, people think, oh, it's easy money. So
I don't know that I'd call it easy money. But
there are a lot of risks.
Okay. But you did find somebody in the Chippewa Valley who does this?
Yes, Britt Poplowski. She's in Eau Claire, and oh my gosh, she's an amazing person. She's an ER nurse on the weekends, full-time doctoral student during the week, and now she's in her second surrogacy with the same family. And she wanted to, she said, like you said, a lot of her friends had, their couple friends had infertility issues, or same-sex couples don't have a lot of options to have a child. So they kind of thought about that in all of this process, and they actually chose an agency that dealt specifically with same-sex couples because there's not a lot of options. And some people, she said, she was reading on all of this stuff that aren't willing to give a same-sex couple that kind of an experience. So she wanted to be a person. They wanted to be people that did this for same-sex couples and give them opportunities. So just a wonderful family, and the bond that they formed with the other family is pretty incredible.
Let's give a listen to Britt.
All right.
I can genuinely say that I would not even begin to consider even my own pregnancy, but surrogacy for sure, in a state with, you know, restricted abortion laws or things like that, because I think a lot of people don't understand the serious nature of surrogacy. Like, you genuinely have to be willing to compromise your own fertility. So one of the guidelines is that you should be done having your own children, because secondary fertility after IVF is unfortunately common. There are intended parents out there who are looking for a surrogate after losing their own fertility doing a surrogacy. And so it really is like, you have to be done having your own family, and pregnancy and labor and delivery are risky. And the statistics in the United States are disgusting. Like, they're horrible, and you have to really genuinely consider that. And if I were in a state where if something went wrong, or I had an ectopic pregnancy or a missed miscarriage, and there was nothing I could do about it but wait until it's bad enough that my life is genuinely in jeopardy, I can completely say I would not even consider being in the position that I am now if I was in a state that that was a reality. And there are a lot of states right now where that is a reality, and that's terrifying.
So yeah, so she really wanted to convey just to think about all of these things and take everything into consideration, all of these risks, because there are so many risks. You wouldn't, you know, maybe potential surrogates don't think of all of that kind of stuff. But she said, you know, you really have to stop and think. It's not just an easy process.
I mean, it really does take us into two different areas. We've talked about IVF and other parts of reproductive health that are under assault, as Britt said in that first bite. And then you also have parenting for same-sex couples. Again, something that continues to be under assault by people on the far right, and something that she has made a very conscious decision to help a couple create a family.
Well, exactly. And there are a couple different kinds of surrogacy. She is a gestational surrogate, in which most are. And so that's where you have, you take a sperm from one parent potentially, and then a donor for eggs. And then she's the carrier. So she says, like, people ask, you know, how can you give up the baby? And she said, it's not my baby. It has nothing genetically having to do with a surrogate. But yes, they chose a same-sex couple from the Chicago area, and she will have their second baby in November. And it would be 2 years after she had the first baby. So it was November a couple of years ago where she had the first one. And she said the bond that they have shared now, and they've become friends, and it's just it's a great story. So she talks about having the baby.
There were multiple reasons why I wanted to work with a same-sex couple, and so that was ultimately why I chose the agency that I did. And then, like you said, they genuinely would have zero way to have, I mean, aside from adoption, their own child without surrogacy. And so that was really cool. It was very, I'm sure that as the years go on, the mental images will fade, but I can genuinely still see it in my head where they were surrounded by the incubator, or both of them had their shirts off and were doing skin to skin with the baby on the couch. And it was just so beautiful to watch that and to know that I was a part of helping them achieve the family that they wanted to have.
So she says she'll just always remember those things, because they got to be in the delivery room all together at the same time. So what an experience. And she said, you know, they saved up enough. It's expensive. They saved up enough money. They were an older couple. She said they've been together for more than 20 years. And just to see this finally achieved, this lifelong dream, it was just fantastic. Experience.
Right. Selena's working on that story for us. You can look for UpNorthNewsWI.com or look for social media UpNorthNewsWI for the stories that she's working on, including that one. And we're going to talk to her more about picking your own strawberries coming up right after the break. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're mentioning among all the birthdays today, Fred Schneider of the B-52s is 73 years old today. Selena Heller's with us on Up North News Radio. And for folks who are just catching us on the radio or podcast, if you're not watching the live video feed and always wonder, you know, just how tough is it really to be a reporter? I mean, what kind of conditions do you have to go through? Whiskers has been attacking this poor girl the entire time that she's been trying to do this report. At one point, Whiskers, when she puts Whiskers off to the side, Whiskers just takes the tail and puts it right into her mouth, just flips it. And without breaking character at all, she's continuing to talk to you as she's plucking fur off her lips or her hair.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, this tail gets stuck, you know.
So definitely a theater kid.
Selena Heller, professional.
Yep. Done a lot of improv.
The cat is especially needy today, but that's all right. So. So we've reached that point in the summer where you're maybe noticing roadside signs. Maybe you're seeing some commercials where folks can go pick their own strawberries. It's that time of year. It's that time of year for some. It will not be for me. There's things. Look, there's a grocery store. It's right down the road here. I can see it. But for others, they find that this is an enjoyable activity.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yes. And
so you talked with somebody from one of the larger farms in the area.
Yes. And growing up, this is something we always did. And especially my dad and I, we would go every year and pick strawberries. And that was our thing. So I really wanted to Emery to do that too. Like, this is what we do. We go pick.
Oh, wait, you subjected her to this as well?
Of course. But, you know, I say you can eat.
You are such a downer.
It's fun, Pat.
Here, kid, get in the dirt and get us some food. I mean, come on.
It was just kind of more running around than anything.
Or I
just,
suppose,
like,
yes.
Playing around, eating strawberries. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's fun. So, yes, we go every year and pick strawberries wherever. And the season is kind of winding up probably in the next couple of days here for pick your own strawberries. But we went a couple weeks ago where it was kind of just the start. Mm-hmm. So we went to Govan's in Menominee, and this is John Govan talking about if you don't get to your strawberries once you pick them, what to do afterwards. You can keep them all winter and then use them in the winter. So this was kind of a hot tip.
If you're in a hurry, you can just cap them. We never wash anything. If you do choose to wash your berries, wash them and rinse them lightly before you take the caps off. But the easiest way to get them in the freezer is you pop the cap off, put them on a cookie sheet, and when they're frozen solid enough that they won't stick to each other, then you can put them in a Ziploc bag. You can take strawberries out and make strawberry jam in the winter.
So there you go. You don't have to get to them right away. And that's
thought of it that way. What we end up doing, we do go through a lot of strawberries and blueberries here. And I will, if I know we're not getting some right away, I will rinse them. I will dry them as best I can and then put them in, you know, in mason jars. I never thought about freezing them so that they don't stick to each other and then doing it that way.
Yeah, and a lot of people just take them out later for smoothies or whatever. Last year, I think we picked so many, and I didn't know. I wanted to make jam. So we made freezer jam. And so now I still have a lot of freezer jam. A lot of freezer jam.
Oh, I'm starting a band called Freezer Jam. We're going to be a Northwoods winter band that just plays Fish in the Dead and is like, we're freezer jam.
And, you know, for hecklers, they'll throw frozen blueberries at you. They're pelting us with frozen fruit.
Well, you guys got to pay attention.
Starting now is pick your own, like, raspberries and coming up blueberries. So be ready for that.
See, this is where I wish Sherry could be here to talk a bit about being a farm kid growing up. Because, I mean, she was never not the biggest fan of the pick your own berry stuff, because again, you wanted to eat them, but you know, your mom and dad wanted to get them home and get them canned and everything. But not just that, but the, you know, the wild ones along the road as well, you know, the raspberry, I've had my share of those, you know, out in the woods and things. But then asparagus too, where there'd be like almost dinner time and, you know, her mom would give her, you know, some shears and a bucket and say, go get us some asparagus from over by the railroad tracks, because it grows wild, you know, out in that area. Uh-huh. And yeah, right. See, city kids like me, and like, I can't relate to this, you know.
We had a raspberry patch and a blackberry patch. Raspberries I love, but blackberries were so much pickier, and I hated picking blackberries. But you had to strap my mom would always give me a bucket and strap it to a belt, and then you went out, and it was during fair time, and it was like, I just wanted to go to the fair, but nope, we had to pick blackberries before we did that. And blackberries, I always thought, well, you know, they're sourer, so you have to get the big juicy ones, and so they were fewer and far between, and so.
Wait, forget about my old age jokes. Listen to Grandma Heller over here. It's like, you know, we had a bucket that was strapped to us.
I would have built.
Back in my day, I just used to pick blueberries and railroad asparagus. That's all our dinner was.
If you want to eat that switch.
Railroad asparagus. Railroad How about that for a band name?
Yeah, Railroad Asparagus opening up soon.
For freezer jam.
Right. Oh,
meanwhile, I grew up in suburban Waukesha City. I was like, oh, this can doesn't have an opener. I can't eat this.
Yeah, Sherry had never
PB&J.
Sherry had never had vegetables out of a can till she met me in college, and you know, said, no, this is how food works out here. And what was I saying on Friday, Greg? Bomb pops. You know, I think it was the ice cream truck was coming, and would they have bomb pops in it or not? No asparagus by the railroad tracks for us.
Were you there the first time she saw spam?
Spam? Oh, yeah. Lots of spam. Love spam. What were you going to say, Selena?
We didn't ever have, like, pickles from the store, so that really wasn't a thing. So I was like, pickles from the store? Like, that's, like, that was a whole, like, kind of an exciting thing when we had pickles from someplace else, pickles from the store, even though, you know, I loved pickles.
Could you make pickles now if we
could? I gosh. I mean we did it every year.
No, I'm not stopping over with a butter churn later and saying, now look, we're gonna need some butter.
I could totally make pickles.
You could make pickles.
Yeah, the jar will have a label that says Milwaukee pickles on it, but don't worry about that. It's not important. It's
totally homemade. Yeah.
I made them 100% in my factory somewhere in the state.
Somewhere near a local grocery store. Yeah.
Exactly.
Works out fine.
We made the coolest cucumber rings. They weren't watermelon rings. They had like cinnamon sticks and red hots, and they were red. So when you get the really big cucumbers, you'd carve out the middle and then have these rings, and that was kind of my mom's specialty. She would bring these everywhere, and that was our fun little, like, oh, what are these?
When did Selena leave and Laurel Ingalls Wilder suddenly came in here? living a little house on the prairie of Black River Falls. Yeah. Big plans for the fourth weekend at all, Miss Heller?
Oh gosh, a lot of times we go camping. We go to the Chautauqua area a lot of times.
Okay.
There's lots of festivities there.
All right. Well, whatever it is, enjoy it. Thanks.
You too.
Coming up next, we'll have our climate check with Melissa Baldoff. We'll go back to the early days of the Inflation Reduction Act and how we got to a point of having historic legislation that can help you save money on your energy bills and be good for the climate as well. You're up north.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Celebrating freedom, unity, and the spirit of America this holiday, I'm Pete Schwabba, host of Nightlight.
And I'm the lovable producer, Conrad. From all of us here with the Civic Media Radio Network to you,
Happy 4th of July!
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
CBS News Brief. After a White House meeting with the president, Democratic governors stand by their man.
President Joe Biden is in it to win it. And all of us said we pledged our support to him because the stakes could not be higher.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul, but several Democrats in Congress have called for the president to step down after his disastrous debate performance last week. In the Caribbean, Beryl is now a Category 3 hurricane whose path may yet take it to South Texas.
If we were going to have the timing for those impacts, we would be looking at the most likely time of arrival of sustained tropical storm force winds Sunday during the day.
National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan saved from a fast-moving wildfire in Northern California.
Thankful for all the effort, all the air support. I'm thankful for all the firemen and firefighters.
Thousands evacuated in and around Oroville, California, as the Thompson Fire has grown to at least 5 square miles. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Calls are ramping up again for money to clean up PFAS pollution in Wisconsin. Lisa Hale reports.
Governor Tony Evers is turning up the pressure on state lawmakers to release $125 million for PFAS pollution cleanup.
It could be released today if the Joint Finance Committee wanted to do that. For some reason, they seem that it, in their world, it is more important for them to make no one accountable for this.
Lawmakers are countering that the governor vetoed their plan to spend that money. I'm Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin is getting $49 million to boost its biohealth industry. Wisconsin aims to create 30,000 biotech jobs and become a global leader in personalized medicine in the next decade. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The 4th of July typically means a big weekend at the summer box office. This year should not disappoint. Opening this weekend is Disney Pixar's Despicable Me 4, which is expected to be the film that finally knocks off Inside Out 2 from the top spot. The most recent installment is pulling a not-quite-fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the franchise has enough street cred with audiences to put the butts in the seats. Despicable Me 4 stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Another highly anticipated opening is Maxine, a film about a young, aspiring actress in 1980s Hollywood that gets drawn into the world of adult films, all while a serial killer haunts the LA streets. If you want to watch a moving picture from the comfort of your own home, Eddie Murphy stars in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is now available to stream on Netflix. The film is receiving a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes and has some of the same old cast members, including Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, and has added a fresh face in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have some heavy rain on the way later this afternoon, tonight into tomorrow. We're talking an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain possible. Today, sunny this morning, scattered thunderstorms by later this afternoon, high of 84. Rain and thunderstorms tonight, 61. Tomorrow, rain, scattered thunderstorms, high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Holiday Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from June 28th through July 8th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is the 4th of July. We are off, but we do have a specially curated best of special for you tomorrow. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's electric!
And we're back now at 6:34 on this Wednesday morning, Up North News Radio. Pat Kreitlow here, Melissa Baldoff over there for our weekly climate check report. This time a bit more about the political climate than the climate, but the two are very much intertwined, as you're going to find out in today's history lesson. Melissa Baldoff, good morning.
Good morning.
We realized we have talked so much about the Inflation Reduction Act from a climate standpoint in this segment, the energy efficiency credits and the rebates and the jobs that can be created. But we've also talked about the Inflation Reduction Act from a healthcare standpoint, Medicare being able to negotiate lower drug prices. We've talked about IRS enforcement. And it just seemed like this was a good time to go back to the beginning. And what is the Inflation Reduction Act that we've been talking about all of this time? And Melissa, let me start with the political premise, because we both have been involved in politics for a long time. Maybe the best way to explain what is the Inflation Reduction Act is that it's President Joe Biden's original Build Back Better plan, but after it went through the sausage grinder that is Congress. Is that a good way to give an overview of it?
Yeah, I do. I think that's a good way to think about it and to describe it. I'm excited about this little, you know, kind of living history lesson that we're doing. It's interesting to me because I just finished up a similar project at the end of the school year with my ninth grader who's going into 10th grade, had to do a project in social studies at the end of the year about the Affordable Care Act. And how it came to be and what was in it and how it became law. So that's really interesting for me now to be thinking about this and how did the Inflation Reduction Act come into law? Because, you know, 10 years from now, that's going to be something that kids in school are studying, because we know that this is such a transformational piece of legislation that is going to have a generational impact. I'm excited to dig into this and talk about how this came to be and, you know, kind of what the history is.
Yeah, because a lot of this deals with President Biden's first 2 years in office when there was a Democratic House as well as a Democratic Senate. By the way, I add as a footnote, the Democratic House and Senate both had razor thin majorities. And so compromises had to be made, looking at you, Joe Manchin, and others. But things did get done compared to the dysfunction that is the Republican-controlled House, which has the same kind of small margin, but they cannot agree amongst themselves. So President Biden came into office, and even going before that as a candidate, talked about an American Rescue Plan, which was going to help get the economy, you know, out of, you know, past COVID and through the crisis. There was this Build Back Better plan that became the Inflation Reduction Act. And there was this American Jobs Act, which we now know as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. So you had these three pieces, and then later others would come, like the CHIPS and Science Act and things like that. But Build Back Better became the Inflation Reduction Act and this multi-pronged approach. But at the time, Melissa, when Congress was debating everything that was going to be in Build Back Better, inflation was very high as the American economy was coming out of the pandemic recession. And it was a real concern, not just from Republicans, but frankly, a few Democrats that said, hey, this can't just be some big spending grab bag. There have to be things in here as well that could attack the deficit and that could lower costs for consumers, which would, you know, basically help reduce inflation. So there was that. It's much more than a wish list. There's a lot of practicality involved in this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that when you look at this, you know, all together and you think about what President Biden's commitment is to the American people, that, you know, he really took this as an opportunity to focus on, yes, the physical infrastructure, but also what he's, you know, calling that human infrastructure. So to tackle climate change, but also to, you know, take on, you know, childcare and healthcare while doing things like broadband, EVs, you know, our physical infrastructure. People were scared, and President Biden was able to come in. And like you said, even with these, you know, just razor thin majority, just barely able to get some things done, but got these incredible, huge, important things done that are going to transform this country for years and years to come. So yeah, I think it's really amazing what he's been able to accomplish. And it's really, I think, representative of why he ran for president and what his promise was to the American people was, I'm going to get things done for you because I know you're hurting and I know what you're telling me you need, and I'm going to be responsive to those needs.
Along with Build Back Better and the American Jobs Plan, which became the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, there was also talk of an American Families Plan, and that was going to be woven into Build Back Better as well. But this is where Joe Manchin and certainly every Republican gets involved when it came to, for example, paid family leave. That was one of the things that Joe Manchin helped kill. And so it didn't make the final bill that became the Inflation Reduction Act. And in fact, Manchin not only opposed the original legislation, saying that it was spending too much and could make inflation worse, he later backed out of a compromise bill that he had done, much like Republicans are doing right now on the bipartisan border bill. But at least at some point after a period of several weeks or even a couple of months, Manchin eventually came back to the negotiating table and said, okay, the president agreed to kind of slim down some of what he wanted to do on climate. But even then, we're still making historic investments that you and I have been talking about for months now, that can get done. It's just that we had to get around a senator from West Virginia who is decidedly still in the pockets of coal, if not the oil companies as well. And yet, having worked that compromise through, you still have this landmark piece of legislation, Melissa.
Right. It does make it clear that there's more work to do, right? Because, like you said, we haven't addressed our child care crisis. And it's just absolutely bonkers to suggest to families that are struggling to deal with rising costs that offering some relief for child care, which is very often the biggest bill that anyone has in their budget. I know when my kids were both in daycare, that was bigger than my rent. And one of the reasons why I could not afford to own a home at the time. So to suggest that that's something that's too expensive is just nuts. And, you know, to see, you know, also Manchin opposing in that original deal, you know, expansion of the, you know, child tax credit, you know, so those are the kinds of things that are actually going to help.
Right.
With those, will help families that are experiencing struggles due to the high cost of inflation. But like you said, we do have this piece of legislation that will help people, that is already going to be helping people save money on their energy bills, help people save money as they make improvements to their home. It's going to help make our, you know, air and water cleaner. It's going to make us have a healthier, cleaner economy as we move forward. But it is a challenge to know, you know, kind of what we could have had and what's on the line and what we can still get. But we have to choose that future where those other options are still going to be available to us and still be priorities for the people we have in elected leadership.
Right. People still chose to get something done. They weren't going to get everything that they wanted. Same with the Affordable Care Act. When that passed, we said, well, we could have done so much more if Joe Lieberman hadn't killed the, you know, the public option and things like that. So you've got room to build on a record of achievement. We clearly know that there are things that didn't make it into the final version of the Inflation Reduction Act that we can come back to. But having said that, this thing still passed. It passed in the House with every Democrat voting in favor, every Republican voting against. It passed the Senate 51-50 because Vice President Kamala Harris broke the tie, and it was all done. And Melissa, I'm just going to read off some of the provisions, and then you can pick any one or two of them that you want to talk about, because along with all the climate provisions that we've discussed, it continued expansion of Affordable Care Act subsidies. It made changes to Medicare Part D, made insulin affordable for Medicare recipients. Here's one about the IRS. By hiring up to 87,000 new employees, you improved customer service and you made it easier to crack down on billionaire tax cheats. There's a new 1% tax on stock buybacks, which I still can't believe are a thing. They weren't a thing until Ronald Reagan allowed companies to basically, you know, replace dividends with ways to make their executives richer. And then you had a minimum corporate tax rate with companies that had more than $1 billion of income. They were no longer going to get away with so many loopholes that they basically paid no taxes. Among all those things, yeah, there's things, Melissa, that didn't get passed, but that's not a bad list for achievement in you know, one landmark bill.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think, you know, one of the ones that I hear the most from people and, you know, see so much conversation about and know what an impact it has is capping the cost of insulin at $35 a month. That is really, quite frankly, life-changing for a lot of people to know that, you know, that is critical medication, that is life-saving medication. And, you know, we've all heard horror stories over the years of people having to ration their insulin, people having to go without, people having to choose between whether they're going to pay for their insulin or they're going to buy groceries. And by capping that cost at an amount that is a lot more affordable, that is really, really going to help people, you know, manage their budget, be able to, you know, be in charge of their health care without breaking the bank. And also knowing that there is a cap on out-of-pocket drug costs at $2,000 for people on Medicare. You know, this is really something that has a huge impact for a lot of people, and is a really good step, another step in getting healthcare costs under control, because as much progress as we've made on healthcare costs are still very out of reach and, you know, can be devastating for a lot of folks. So anything we can do to be getting healthcare more affordable is going to be critically important.
And so in conclusion, you take this big picture total bill, you break it down into these various components, which include $370 billion to, you know, fight a changing climate. Take that down to what we talked about last week, $9 billion nationwide to go to home efficiencies, including $150 million coming to Wisconsin homeowners in two different programs that Kevin Kane outlined for us last week. An article on that is coming to our website shortly over at upnorthnewswi.com. And so I want to take last week's discussion on individual help right to the homeowner and say, how did we get here again? And so, Melissa, thanks for indulging me, taking a few minutes to kind of give that oral history of how Build Back Better became the Inflation Reduction Act and became these things that bring credits and efficiencies right to the home level, and that there's more work to be done. This all sounds to me like something Joe Biden can run on.
It sure does. And I hope that people, you know, really, like we always talk about, continue to learn more about this. We're going to continue talking about this as much as possible, because those credits are out there. The rebates are out there. This is money that is available to people. We want everyone to take advantage of it. These are real savings for people in Wisconsin, around the country. And, you know, they've got to take advantage of that. So hopefully we can continue to spread the word. We're going to keep talking about this. And hopefully we see more and more of these investments come into Wisconsin.
Real savings and real jobs and real impact on the climate. And that's your climate check for this week. Melissa Baldoff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, we are about 15 minutes away from your next chance to win in the Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. You're going to need the Civic Media app for that. Get it downloaded if you haven't already. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm at the movies, asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Eh, too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issues and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Steely Dan has a classic example here of a movie soundtrack song you remember, FM, but remember nothing about the movie, because the movie FM didn't do very well. But it was on this day in 1935 that we saw the first public demonstration of FM broadcasting in the United States. So I got a chance to meet with Riley Kleister, who's on the coaching staff at UW Stout, and we were talking about football and sports. And I was curious as to what all has to take place in the off season at this particular level. And I know we've talked to Dan Schumacher previously in his role as athletic director at Northland College, and prior to that at UW Eau Claire. But I thought it would be interesting to hear from another perspective, in this case, from a coaching standpoint of somebody who just really loves football, loves to talk about it, and is looking forward to next season. So let's bring in Riley Kleist and find out a bit more about what's going on over at Stout and what's happening at the college and the high school ranks at this time of year. Riley, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm Dandy. How are you?
Dandy here as well. Absolutely. I find this interesting because I have a son-in-law who is the equipment manager for a hockey team, Division I hockey, Western Michigan University, Army West Point before that. And so I know that there really isn't an off season. There's always something going on, whether right. it's purchasing or maintenance or recruiting or training or what have you. And so I figure at some point in the fall, we're going to start talking about, football scores in the WIAC and Stout taking on Whitewater, Eau Claire taking on Superior. But obviously work has to go on between now and then. And so at this time when you might not expect to be talking about it, people are getting the work done. Riley, what kinds of things, go on at this time of year? What are you anticipating doing as you get closer to actually training for the football season?
Yeah. So, players are getting their bodies and minds ready for the game, as well as coaches. We are working to – it's always recruiting season, so we're working on this year's recruiting class. There's always going to be some real late commits, as well as next year's recruiting class already, because it's never too early to start texting that going to be senior in high school, saying, hey, man, we're interested in you. We want to get you on campus. We want to start meeting you. Because it's never a bad idea to start talking to new athletes. And then – getting ready, right? Myself personally, as a younger coach, I'm still studying and learning the game and trying to be as comfortable with our playbook as possible and other teams, the schemes and ideologies, and also watching film and teach points from players gone by and players present at the professional and college level. So I'm working now to keep bettering my knowledge of the game, and players are lifting weights, and other coaches that are in the office more 24/7 are, they're working on recruiting and high school camps that are popping up all over the place this summer.
Tell me about the type of coaching that you're specializing in right now.
So I am the tight ends and fullbacks coach for Stout.
Go ahead.
The bigger running backs that don't get all the pretty runs, they're doing the dirty work. They're my guys. And the tight ends that sometimes think they're more offensive linemen that just want an opportunity to catch the football, they're also my boys. So.
Mm-hmm. I think so many people they first learn about the quarterback, and they learn about running backs and wide receivers, and I think, like you said, tight end is rather underappreciated until you've got a really good one or you face off against a really good one, and then you understand why you need that.
We say we're the poor man's quarterback because we need to know every bit of the offense just like the quarterback does. So, not taking a shot at receivers or running backs, but they don't always need to understand the full premise of the play, whether it's running or passing. So sometimes a receiver goes, oh, it's a run play, I gotta go dig out the safety, or I gotta down block on a linebacker. So they have to know a little bit of it, but the tight ends need to be able to work with the offensive linemen on blocking combos in a zone run scheme, and there's and also know how to run routes with the small wide receivers. So they gotta work with everybody.
And so now you've got, like you said, you've got campus visits from potential recruits going on right now. And then eventually it's early August sometime that you get going with the morning practices?
Yeah. So I don't remember the exact date, but it's early to mid August. We'll start back in fall camp. The guys will get back on, we'll get them. The first day is it's like getting everybody back from summer break or getting pads fitted. You're getting your medical stuff, paperwork turned in, and all that.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. And I'm joined by host of Max Inc. Radio here on Civic Media, our favorite Friday friend, Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.